الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وقال تعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون وقال تعالى أيضا وعنده مفاتح الغيب لا يعلمها إلا هو ويعلم ما في البر والبحر وما تسقط من ورقة إلا يعلمها ولا حبة في ظلمات الأرض ولا رطب ولا يابس إلا في كتاب مبين صدق الله العظيم. All praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, sustainer, nourisher and protector. May the choicest of his blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, first and foremost it is incumbent upon all of us to thank Allah the Almighty for this beautiful opportunity that He has bestowed upon us on such a beautiful Sunday afternoon. It is mandatory that we thank Him that He has made us part of a gathering where the angels shroud us with their wings. The Sakina of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends upon us, and Allah the Almighty, He makes high mention of us in the heavens. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, before we begin, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our sins and accept all of our good deeds and makes this discussion a source of benefit for us in this world and the hereafter. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, today's topic, belief in the unseen. The minute I received the topic, I informed the brothers who are organizing it that this is a very broad topic, belief in the unseen, and I cannot cover it in half an hour or 45 minutes, because belief in the unseen, al-ghayb, covers so many aspects and so many topics regarding the malaika, regarding jinnat, regarding jannah, jahannam, Allah the Almighty, akhirah, the day of qiyamah. There are so many aspects in regard to the belief in the unseen. But nevertheless, what I'll try to do today is, inshallah, with the short time that I have, is to give you all a nutshell of what Al-Ghaib is all about. So before we go into Al-Ghaib and the main content today, which is going to be about Jinnat, inshallah ta'ala, I would like to touch on Iman first. For my dear brothers in Islam, Iman, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the noble Quran, the ayah that I recited, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, In regard to the noble Quran, this book, there is no doubt in it. Hudan lil muttaqin. And Allah says that it is a book which is containing guidance for the people of taqwa. And then Allah goes on to say who the people of taqwa is. Who the people of taqwa are? Alladhina yu'minuna bil ghaib. They are those who believe in the ghaib, in the unseen. Wa yuqimu salah. And they establish salah. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And they spend from that which Allah the Almighty has blessed them with. Allah goes on to say, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. And they are those who believe firmly in that which has been sent down to them and which has been sent down before them. And Allah finally says, the next ayah, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And they are those who are upon the guidance of their Lord. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And indeed they are the ones who have succeeded in this world and the hereafter. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, what is Iman? Al-Iman هو قول باللسان وتصديق أو اعتقاد بالجنان أو بالقلب وعمل بالأركان. Iman is a statement that you utter verbally. It does not end there. It is a firm belief and conviction that is through your heart. And finally, these two coupled bring about amalum bil arkan, good deeds that will flow from your limbs and the parts of your body. This is what Iman is all about. And Allah couples taqwa and Iman many a time in the Noble Quran. The reason being, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, a Muslim becomes a mu'min, becomes a believer, the minute an tu'mina billah, the minute he believes in Allah the Almighty as his creator, as his God, as his Lord. Wa malaikatihi, the angels of Allah the Almighty. Wa kutubihi, the revelations of Allah the Almighty. Wa rusulihi, the messengers of Allah the Almighty. Wal yawm al akhir, and the day of judgment, the day of qiyamah, which is headed to us in a rapid pace. Wa bil qadr, and in the decree of Allah the Almighty, in fate, in destiny. وَبِالْ قَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ, that good and evil is from it. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, Iman is to believe firmly and strongly in these six articles of faith. The minute you believe firmly, with firm and strong conviction in these six articles of faith, you become a mu'min. But then, being a mu'min alone is not enough to take you to the stages of wilayah, to make you from the awliya of Allah, to make you from the friends of Allah the Almighty. We have the friends of Allah the Almighty and the friends of the accursed shaitan. To attain the stages of wilaya, you need to couple Iman with taqwa. That's why Allah says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهُ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. It is a guidance, a book of guidance for the people of taqwa. For the ones who fear Allah the Almighty and are conscious of Allah the Almighty at all moments and at all times. So when Iman and Taqwa is coupled, you go stage after stage in wilayah and you become the friend of Allah the Almighty. You attain success in this world and the hereafter. Now when we talk about Iman, Iman is about al-ghayb, about things that are unseen, that we have not heard of, we have not seen, that we cannot witness. Has anybody of us seen the Malaika? Have we seen Allah the Almighty? Have we seen Jannah? Jahannam? No. But we believe firmly. This is the virtue of Iman. And how do we believe in all of this, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam? The Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhi majma'in, they were with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They heard it directly from him. But we, on the other hand, 1400 years later, we have not even seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the only way that we believe in all of this is through the two sources of our religion, of our sharia, which is the Quran and the Sunnah. The Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when I say Sunnah, I don't mean specific actions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such as perhaps growing the beard or tying the turban or dressing according to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But rather, sunnah is much more broader than that. Sunnah encompasses the af'al, primarily the aqwal of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the statements of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which are the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which alhamdulillah, through the grace of Almighty Allah, has been protected to us generation after generation by the giants of our religion, by the scholars of Islam, and we have it in our hands. Primarily the aqwal of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then the af'al of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the actions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did is sunnah that we are supposed to follow. Number three, the iqrar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And these are the approvals of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam approved or kept silent about indicated the permission. For the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam would never keep quiet if something is taking place in front of him which is against the deen of Allah the Almighty. So the mere fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam kept quiet about it indicates the permissibility. Iqrar, approval of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And finally, the fourth category which many people are not aware of is at-tarkiyah, sunnatul tarkiyah. These are the sunnahs that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam left. And due to him leaving, we the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we also leave them. For example, adhan for Eid Salah. Do you have adhan for Eid Salah? We don't have adhan for Eid Salah. There is a purpose. You need to call the people for Salah, just as how you call people for the five times Salah. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not practice it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not have the adhan called out for the Eid Salah. Due to that, we also leave it. Do you have adhan for the solar eclipse Salah or the lunar eclipse Salah? No, we don't. Even though there is a purpose, you need to call the people for the salah. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam left it. Due to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam leaving it out, we do also leave it. These are the four categories. And when we say sunnah, this is what sunnah encompasses. Primarily, the aqwal of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So these are the two sources that we derive our religion from, our deen from. The Quran, that is the speech of our beloved creator, our beloved maker, Allah the Almighty, and the ahadith or the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, see, before I delve into al-ghaib, these are things that I need to clarify. And now, in regard to aql and naql, for us to understand al-ghaib, see, I can't just go into al-ghaib. For us to understand al-ghaib, we need to accept these two primary sources. For if we do not accept the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the sunnah of our beloved Prophet, we cannot understand in regard to ghaib. We cannot believe firmly in ghaib. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reported to have said along the lines of these words, that I have been given the Quran, and also I have been given something similar to it. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was referring to his sunnah. And then the very same hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam goes on to say that there will be a time when a group will come out, a group of people. They will be reclining on their sofas and they'll say that we suffice ourselves with the Quran. We do not need the sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We do not need the hadith. We suffice ourselves with the Quran. What the Quran has made halal, that is enough for us. What the Quran has made haram, that is enough for us. We do not need to go back to the ahadith. We do not need to refer to the ahadith. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, this is something spreading in these days, in our times, in our era. That there's a group of people who claim that the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not necessary. My question to them is, if so, tell them to bring proof from the Quran that Isha Salah is 4 raka'at, or Dhuhr Salah is 4 raka'at, or that you have to pray Tanyu Takbir in this manner, going to Sajidah in this manner, and Ruku' in this manner. Nothing of that sort is mentioned in the Noble Quran, but rather it is our beloved teacher, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who taught us how to pray. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray just as how you see me praying.
There are different aspects about sunnah. We need to do a lecture alone on sunnah. As-sunnah tubayyinu al-mujmal. As-sunnah tuqayyidu al-mutlaq. The sunnah explains that which is concise. What is concise? The noble Quran is concise. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, the Quran and the sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam go hand in hand, explaining one another. You can't exclude one away from the other. When I say as-sunnah tubayyinu al-mujmal, that the sunnah explains that which is concise. You take the ayah, for example, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالْدَّمُ. Allah the Almighty, He says in the noble Quran, that all dead animals and all types of blood have been made haram upon you. So the people who suffice themselves with the Quran, they cannot eat fish. They cannot eat fish. Or for that matter, any animal from the sea, from the oceans. Why? Because the minute you take out the fish, it dies. So those people, they'll have to take the fish out, and before it dies, they'll have to slaughter it, make qurban of it. For that's the only way they can eat fish. Because Allah says in the noble Quran, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةِ. The ayah is general. Nothing has been exempted. Nothing has been excluded. But then how come we eat fish? How come we the Muslims, how do we eat fish? The hadith of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes in beautifully and exempts fish from the ayah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that two dead animals have been made halal for my ummah. What are the two? As-samak wal-jarad, fish and locusts. Locusts are insects, like grasshoppers. We from the Asian region, we have not heard of it. But in the Arabian Peninsula, there is a season when locusts swarm the Kaaba. And Arabs, they used to collect these locusts. They are insects which do not have flowing blood. They used to dry them and eat them. It is halal. So fish and locusts have been exempted from the ayah. If you do not accept the hadith, you cannot eat fish. Likewise, ad-dam. حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالْدَّمْ. All types of blood have been made haram. But in the very same hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his reporter have said, daman, two types of blood have been made halal upon my ummah. What are they? Al-kabid wa tihal. Liver and spleen. As we all know, liver is a part of the animal which consists of 90 to 95% of blood. It is almost as if it is blood. So the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes in and exempts it, makes liver halal, spleen. The other thing is spleen. Liver and spleen is halal. So you can have your green peas curry with liver pieces in it. This halal. But if you do not accept the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then according to the ayah in the noble Quran, all dead animals and all types of blood is haram. In another place, Allah the Almighty says, As-sariqu was-sariqatu faqta'u aydiyahuma. The thief, the robber, whether he be male or female, chop his hands off. This is the law of our religion. But then Allah the Almighty, He did not indicate or specify from where you cut off the hands. From where? So if I were to ask this gathering, if I were to ask, brother, where do we cut off? He would say, okay, let me think about it. Let's cut off from the elbow. And brother, where shall we cut it off? Let's cut it off from the wrist, and perhaps it'll have a little more, you know, remaining so you can do something with it. Each person would come up with his own logic, with his own reasoning, with his own thinking, and try to define and mold the deen according to his whims and desires. So, as-sunnah tuqayyid al-mutlaq. This is the second aspect. I'm not going into all the aspects, I'm just giving you a glimpse into it. So the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is what comes in and then defines the law as to from where do you cut the hands off. Because the Quran ayah is very general and very concise. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, this is the importance of the Quran and the sunnah. We need both. And if we were to shun away the sunnah, how did the Quran come to us? Yes, Allah the Almighty, He created Huffaz. Huffaz al-Quran to protect and memorize the Quran. But likewise, the Quran has been, we have a transmission. See, I think the whole lecture will go in this. The transmission that comes to us in a mutawatir, you call it mutawatir. When we say mutawatir,
it is the transmission, the chain of narrators, you cannot deny. Say for example, if I say something today, if I say this cat is red in this lecture, all of you here seated, you all witness to it. We have audio recording, video recording, all of it, okay? Now can I go out and deny, no, I did not say my cap is red, I said that it's white. If you'll all get up and say, no, so and so Shaykh, he said that his cap is red. Will anybody think that you are lying? Such a big gathering? No, you cannot deny. Likewise, these mutawatir ahadith, they come through a transmission, through a chain of narrators, so huge, so large, that no one, and they're all people of great piety, scholars, Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, you cannot deny. There are different aspects of ahadith. You have mutawatir, you have ahad, and then the grades of ahadith, what I'm saying. But if you were to negate ahadith, then you would have to negate the way the Quran came to us also, in the mutawatir way. So there are many aspects, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, that there is no possibility that you can negate the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how important the Quran and the sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. Now next in line is aql. When we say aql and naql, what do we mean? Naql is text. In other words, the text of the Quran and the text of the sunnah. Naql. And when we say aql, as many of you all would know, aql means intellect. Intellect. Logic, reasoning. You understand? So when aql and naql is placed, or if aql and naql clashes, for example, what we need to understand here is that the deen of Allah, the deen of Allah the Almighty, does not work according to each one of us logic and reasoning. The deen of Allah does not work as such. For if the deen of Allah were to work according to our logic and our reasoning, then the deen would become a toy. Like I said in regard to the chopping of the hands, each person would say, you know, why don't you cut off a little finger only, that's enough. Each person would have his own view. The deen of Allah does not work according to our logic and reasoning. For if it were, today sisters ask, why do we have to cover ourselves? Why do we have to cover ourselves? Isn't it oppression? Isn't it abusing our rights? I don't think it's logical for me to cover myself. I think it's better if I open myself. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, the question that you need to ask them is, Allah the Almighty commanded Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to slaughter his son. Does that sound logical to you in any way? In any way? Slaughtering your own son? Can you give me a good reason? No. But he, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, complied beautifully to the command of Allah the Almighty, because it is the command of Allah. He does not apply logic and reasoning. Ya Allah, no, you know what? I don't think it's logical for me to slaughter my son. I don't see any benefit in that. After so long I got a son, I don't think it's logical for me to slaughter my son, so I'm sorry, I can't do it. Did he reply as such? At the age of 80, hadith recorded in Bukhari, at the age of 80, he's the only believer on the face of this earth. We know how much Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam struggled. Allah the Almighty reveals a command to him. One, all believing men should circumcise themselves. All believing men should circumcise themselves. Now he is 80 years old, okay? An old man. The minute the command came down, the narration goes, he looked for an axe. Just imagine circumcising yourself with an axe and you doing the job alone. A part of us is aghast thinking about it, but another part of us should be amazed at the obedience of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahu Akbar. He immediately complied to the order of Allah the Almighty, circumcised himself. Being so old, he could have excused himself. Ya Allah, I'm so alone. I'm alone and I'm so old. No one to help me to do this. Please excuse me. No. He did not apply logic. He did not apply reasoning. His thinking, no. He immediately complied to the order of Allah the Almighty. So remember, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, a golden principle is that whenever aql and naql clash, priority is always given to naql. Priority is always given to the Quran and the Sunnah. Just chuck your aql away whenever they clash. We don't say that aql is not necessary at all. You need logic. You need reasoning. There is a dire necessity for it too.
But when they both clash, naql is given priority. Now that I have cleared all of this, now we enter al-ghayb. For if all of these things are clarified, now we are on a sound level where we have accepted the Quran and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We've understood about aql and naql, now we enter ghayb. And we have got only a few minutes left. Al-ghayb. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the noble Quran, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Like I said, there are many aspects of ghayb. But I'm going to only touch in regard to jinnah today. And the other thing that I want to discuss regarding ghayb also is that nobody has knowledge in regard to al-ghayb. Nobody. Some people may come up saying that our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew about the ghayb. No. By us denying this, this is in accordance with what Allah the Almighty says, in no way are we insulting our great Prophet. We love him. May my mother and my father and myself be sacrificed for him. We love him. But we are going according to the text. Allah the Almighty says in the noble Quran, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُمْ. And with Allah the Almighty is mafatihul ghaib, the keys of the unseen. Mafatih, miftah, jam, mafatih. Miftah, the plural which is mafatih. The keys of the unseen are with Allah the Almighty. The secrets of the unseen are with Allah the Almighty. La ya'lamuha illahu. None knows about it except Him. A very direct Quran ayah. A very direct Quran ayah. It's Allah the Almighty clearly defines that there is no one who knows about it other than Allah the Almighty. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. He is the one who knows all that takes place on the earth and in the oceans. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. Allahu Akbar. Not a leaf falls from a tree except that Allah the Almighty has knowledge about it. Allah. A leaf, my dear brothers in Islam, a leaf. A leaf falling in Malaysia. A leaf falling in Indonesia. A leaf falling in the United States. Something so trivial. Something so insignificant. But Allah the Almighty, His knowledge encompasses every single thing. Every single atom and molecule is within His knowledge. وَمَا تَسْخُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. Not a leaf falls from any tree except that Allah the Almighty knows about it. وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطُبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Not even a tiny seed. فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ. In the darkest regions of the earth. Except Allah the Almighty, He knows about it. All of this, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, is in فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. In a clear record. Allah has record of every single thing. Look at the other ayah. Inna Allaha indahu ilmu sa'a. Indeed, with Allah the Almighty alone is the knowledge of the day of Qiyamah. Today people come up and say, the earth is going to be destroyed on this date and on that date. What did we have? We had Y2K, we had 2012, we had 2013. They came up with so many theories. The Mayan civilization, this civilization, that theory. But everything was proved false. Everything was proved false. And they had some kind of an explanation to wriggle out of their theories at the last moment. What happened 2013? They said that the Mayan timetable now has resetted itself. And they keep shut. Websites were open with, countdown timers running now. The time is, people started selling their properties, their assets. Why? Because the world is going to be destroyed. People started stocking food and building bunkers and all kinds of nonsense. Allah the Almighty clearly states that none has the knowledge in regard to the day of Qiyamah other than Allah. Not even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam. When Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him about the day of Qiyamah. أخبرني عن الساعة. What was the reply of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? ما المسؤول عنها بأعلم من السائل. The one who is being questioned knows no better than the questioner. The one who is being questioned, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was indicating to himself. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam is asking the question. So he's saying, both of us are on the same level, we don't know nothing. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to teach us the signs of the day of Qiyamah. That which Allah the Almighty has had inspired him and taught him, the signs. But in regard to the exact date and time, no one knows about it other than Allah the Almighty. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ It is Allah who knows when the day of Qiyamah will take place. وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ It is He who knows when it's going to rain. No fortune teller, no soothsayer, no weather department, no one knows when it's going to rain. And you believing in it is shirk. You're reading the weather forecast, okay, you've got your apps on your iPhone and your Android and the newspapers, all false. No one knows except Allah the Almighty. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ And He is the one who knows what is in the wombs of the mothers. Whether the child is a male or female. Today we have 4D scans. 4D. You know, 4-dimension scans. Not you had 2D and then 3D and now we have 4D. They look at it from 4 dimensions. But still, having all of this technology, where they can see so clearly, and they predict that the child is going to be male, Allah's will is different, and the child comes out, the child is female. Allahu Akbar. Why? Because Allah, He is the one who knows what is in the wombs of the mothers. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا And no soul knows what he or she is going to earn tomorrow. Do you know what kind of a deal you're going to sign tomorrow? Maybe you're going to sign a multi-million dollar deal tomorrow. You don't know. Allah knows. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ And no soul knows upon which land is he going to die. Look at the advancement of technology. Look at all of that. But can they predict death? Do they have any knowledge in regard to your soul? Recently, not recently, a few years back, but that's the only research or the only breakthrough that they have come up in regard to the soul is they have weighed a person who was on his deathbed and found out that the soul weighs about, right after his death, the body lost weight, a few grams. So they have come to a conclusion, okay, there's something called a soul and that it weighs this much. That's it. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا Oh, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will come to you asking about the ruh, about the soul. قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي Tell them that the ruh, the soul is a command from my Lord. وَمَا أُوتِيتُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا And you all have not been given from the knowledge except a very little, a very trivial amount of knowledge has been given to you. And with that you try to claim this and that. No one knows about the soul. No one can talk about death. They don't know what happens after death. These all mysteries unsolved. Only Allah the Almighty knows about these secrets, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam. Likewise, hadith in Bukhari, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ خَمْسِ That the secrets of the unseen are five. And he mentions, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the same five that I discussed with you now in the previous ayah. Now we move on to jinnat. The jinnat are a mystery. It intrigues everybody. Because my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, this universe that we live in is full of secrets and mysteries. Forces that we cannot understand. We are nothing. Just scale down and look at this universe around you. Look at this magnificent creation of Allah the Almighty, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam. You are on a planet that is insignificant, tiny when you compare it to the other planets and the other celestial beings such as the sun. Tiny planet. Okay? And this, all of these planets are in what? In a galaxy? Milky Way galaxy? Not the chocolate Milky Way. Milky Way galaxy? Okay? Amongst billions of galaxies. Billions of galaxies. We are in one of those galaxies. So what about the other galaxies? Who are in those galaxies? What are in those galaxies? No one knows. No one knows. And all of this is encompassed within this universe. And my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, this is all within one heaven. They come up to say there aren't seven heavens, we can't see layers. Tell them that you haven't even encompassed one heaven. One heaven. Leave the other six alone. You haven't even covered one heaven. All of this is within one heaven.
But Allah the Almighty took our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a fascinating journey, Isra and Mi'raj, within one night across the seven heavens to meet him. Allahu Akbar. We are from such a blessed ummah. This is how fortunate we are. Even if we were to be in sajda our whole lives, we would not be able to thank Allah the Almighty in regard to it. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, we are in such a universe. But remember, from all of these great creations, we are the masterpiece. We are the masterpiece. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ Allah the Almighty says that we created mankind in the best of forms, the best of statures. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ And all of this has been created for us and for not anybody else, for us. So from this, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, there's another creation of Allah the Almighty. They are the jinnat. And why are they called jinn? Why are they called jinn? Scholars such as Ibn Aqil, they mention that jinn, the term jinn stems from the root ijtinan. Ijtinan, which means to conceal themselves. You have jinn, you have janin, the Arabic word janin, which means the fetus of a, which is in the womb of a mother. It's hidden, it's concealed. Janin. You have jannah. Jannah is also concealed. No eye has seen it. No ear has heard about it. It's hidden. And that's why it's known as Jannah. Jinn, Jannah, Janin. And then you have Mijan, which is a shield. The warriors use it on the battlefield. A shield which conceals themselves. They conceal themselves with a shield. And it is known as Mijan. All of these come and stem from the same root known as from the Arabic word Jannah. In other words, Ijtinan, to conceal yourself. Okay? And now in regard to their origin and their creation, Allah the Almighty says in the Noble Quran, وَالْجَانَّ خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ مِنْ نَارِ السَّمُومِ As for the jinnat, خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ مِنْ نَارِ السَّمُومِ Allah the Almighty, He says, we created them from a smokeless fire. A smokeless fire. In another ayah, وَخَلَقَ الْجَانَّ مِنْ مَارِجٍ مِنْ نَارٍ And as for the jinnat, Allah the Almighty, He created them مِنْ مَارِجٍ مِنْ نَارٍ From smokeless fire. Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, Ikrima, Mujahid, rahimahumullah, all great scholars of tafsir, they mention, what is this smokeless fire? What is this smokeless fire? And they go on to explain that it is the edge of the flame. When you have a flame, the edge of it, the most purest and the best part of the flame. This is how the jinnat have been created. Hadith in Muslim Aisha radiallahu anha narrates, خُلِقَتْ that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, خُلِقَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ مِنْ نُورِ The malaika, a beautiful creation of Allah the Almighty, they have been created from noor, from light, from light. وَخُلِقَ الْجَانُّ مِنْ مَارِجٍ مِنْ نَارٍ And the jinnat have been created from smokeless fire. وَخُلِقَ آدَمْ مِمَّا وُصِفَ لَكُمْ And Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, in other words, mankind, all of us, we have been created from that which has been described to you. Clay. We have been created from clay. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, in regard to light and fire, they are lesser in density than clay. And that is the reason their bodies are light. The jinnat and the malaika, their bodies are light. And that is the reason they can travel fast, you can't see them, and all of these abilities have been given to them. So now who came first? We or the jinnat? Who came first? Allah the Almighty says in the Noble Quran, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَئٍ مَسْنُونَ وَالْجَانَّ خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ مِنْ نَارِ السَّمُومِ We created mankind مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَئٍ مَسْنُونَ We created him
from sounding clay. وَالْجَانَّ خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ مِنْ نَارِ السَّمُومِ مِنْ قَبْلُ. And the jinnat, we created them مِنْ قَبْلُ, before mankind, مِنْ نَارِ السَّمُومِ, from smokeless fire. So from this we understand, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, you see how important it is to refer to the two sources. To refer to the two sources. We were not there hundreds and thousands of years ago to know who came first. But you refer back to the Quran and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you get the truth. You get the truth. So they were the creation before us. So how have they been created? No one knows. In other words, I'm saying their form or their shape, no one knows. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ. Allahu Akbar. That we have reserved for Jahannam many jinnat and many mankind. Allahu Akbar. Many from the mankind, many human beings. Allah save us all from the Jahannam and Allah make us all from Jannah. And the ayah goes on, لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have hearts, but they did not use those hearts to think and contemplate and ponder about Allah the Almighty. They did not understand. They did not understand the haqq. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. لَهُمْ رَاجِعْ إِلَى الْجَانْ وَالْإِنْسِ. Mankind and jinnat, both of them, they have hearts. So from this we understand that jinnat, they have hearts. وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا. They have eyes, but they did not use it to see the haqq, the truth. They did not use it to look around and see the great creation of Allah the Almighty and remember and ponder and reflect on Allah. So from this we understand jinnat have eyes. وَلَهُمْ أَذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. They had ears, but they did not use it to listen to good. They did not partake of gatherings that were discussing about Allah and His Messenger. So from this we understand that the jinnat, they have ears. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ. They from the mankind of the jinnat who are accursed and who have been put to Jahannam, they are like cattle. Balhum adal. Nay, they are even worse than animals. Allahu Akbar. Allah save us all. So from this we understand, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, and likewise from the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it has been proven that the jinnat, they have all of these faculties. Likewise, they also have a voice. They eat, they drink, they marry, they reproduce. All of these things have been established through the Quran and the Hadith. Now there are different types of jinnat. Different types of jinnat. There is a type known as Amir. Amir, the plural Ummar. They are known as dwellers or haunters. They are the ones who haunt houses. Haunt houses. Abandoned houses. This is the type of jinn which live in abandoned houses, graveyards, etc. Clear? The second type is arwah, arwah, which is translated as souls. This type of jinn attaches itself to young children. This type of jinn attaches itself to young children. The next type is shaitan. A beautiful discussion breaks out, a very scary discussion in reality, whether shaitan, is he from the jinn or from the malaika. We'll try to cover that soon inshallah. So nevertheless, shaitan, another type of jinn is shaitan, the devil, the evil one. And then we have a type which is worse, one who is more evil. From the shaitan, but in a worse category. He's known as marid, marid, a rebellious devil, one who transgresses all the time. And finally we have ifrit, ifrit. Ifrit is a jinn who is extremely powerful, very powerful, has many abilities, very powerful. Allah the Almighty says in the Noble Quran, قَالَ عِفْرِيتٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَن تَقُومَ مِن مَقَامِكَ وَإِنِّي عَلَيْهِ لَقَوِيٌّ أَمِينٌ. قال الذي عنده علم من الكتاب أنا آتيك به قبل أن يرتد إليك طرفك
فَلَمَّا رَآهُ مُسْتَقِرًا عِنْدَهُ قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَأَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ وَمَنْ شَكَرَ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ رَبِّي غَنِيٌّ كَرِيمٌ.
الله أكبر. The story of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Story of Sulaiman alayhi salam, a prophet and a great king. Now this was at the time when Balqis was about to visit Sulaiman alayhi salam. Now Sulaiman alayhi salam, he was in his kingdom, which was far away from the kingdom of Balqis. And he wanted the throne of Balqis to be brought to his kingdom. He wanted the throne. Because she had a fascinating throne, a beautiful throne. He did that to show her the power of Allah the Almighty. But he wanted it soon. So the minute he mentioned it in his, to his council, his ministers and the people around him, قَالَ عِفْرِيتٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِ. Now we know that there were many jinnat under Sulaiman alayhi salam. This was a blessing that Allah the Almighty blessed him with. He had the power to control the jinnat with the help of Allah the Almighty. So many jinnat were under him. So one of the jinn, Ifrit. In the Quran, قَالَ عِفْرِيتٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِ. He says, O King, O Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, I can bring you that throne. Now the throne is not a plastic chair like this. You understand? It is not a plastic chair like this. Throne made of precious metals, stones, heavy, so far away. They did not have jets and planes to bring it at that time. He says, I will bring that throne to you before you can even get up from your seat. Before you can even get up from your seat, I will bring it to you. وَإِنِّي عَلَيْهِ لَقَوِيٌّ أَمِينٌ. And I am strong and I am trustworthy in regard to that matter. The minute he said that, the next ayah. Now from this we understand the ability of this jinn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them with. They can move things and do things like this. But the next ayah, قَالَ الَّذِي عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِّنَ الْكِتَابِ. There was another person in that gathering. And he had the knowledge of the kitab, of the revelation of Allah the Almighty. Mufassirun, scholars of tafsir mention that he knew the Ismullahil A'zam. Allahu Akbar. The Ismullahil A'zam, the greatest name of Allah. That name, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, is top secret. Top secret. If you know that name, if you pray to Allah with that name, your dua is answered immediately. Immediately. And only the very pious, awliya of Allah, the friends of Allah know that name. Now this scholar, he was a pious scholar. He knew the name of Allah. And he says, أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَن يَرْتَدَّ إِلَيْكَ طَرْفُكَ. Allahu Akbar. I will bring that throne to you, O my king, O Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, in the twinkling of an eye. Allahu Akbar. In the twinkling of an eye. He just said that, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam looked at him and turned this side, the throne is here. Allahu Akbar. The throne is in front of him. And you know what Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam did? This is the speciality of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. So much of power, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, so much of authority. He used to travel with the wind. The greatest king ever. The greatest king ever. And you know what he says next?
قَالَ هَذَا مِن فَضْلِ رَبِّي.
He immediately remembers Allah the Almighty. He immediately remembers Allah. He don't think, oh, how powerful am I? What a great king I am. He immediately remembers Allah. And then he says, this is a test. This is a test of Allah to test me whether I am grateful or ungrateful. لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَشْكُرَ مَكْفُرٌ. Am I thanking Allah? And then he goes on to say, وَمَنْ شَكَرَ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِ. For the one who thanks Allah, he is only benefiting himself. If Allah blesses you with something, the minute you thank Allah, Allah is going to multiply that, double it for you. But the more you grumble, the more you complain, the more you are ungrateful to Allah, Allah is going to pluck away that ni'mah from you. You get 1,000 rupees today, be thankful to Allah, tomorrow you will get a million. Tomorrow you will get a million. You get a million, now don't think, ah, I'm a rich man now.
I'm Hajia. No, thank Allah, the next day you get a 10 million. This is how shukr works. You should never forget Allah the Almighty. We should never forget Allah. So he immediately thanks Allah. Now coming back to the jinnat. So from this we understand, Ifrit, he had the power to bring it before he stood up. But the close slave of Allah, he brought it within the twinkling of an eye. This is the power of Allah. This is how much we... You see, from this we understand, today we have people trying to get close to these jinnat and do miracles and do things. You know, you have people, hazrats, people who are trying to make money. They're making money. You understand? My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, I want to mention this point because I don't want to forget it at the end. You know, jinn possession is true. I'm running out of time. Jinn possession is true. Demonic possession. But, you know, and especially many people are being afflicted by it. But take care. Just because you have a problem in your family, you have a problem with one of your relatives, or you yourself, you're afflicted by it, don't go to the wrong people. They're just trying to make a buck or two out of you. You know, these eggs and I don't know, mumbo jumbo, mantras, all these things are against the deen of Allah the Almighty. Against. Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, my beloved teacher, I love him for the sake of Allah. Expert in this division. Expert. In regard to exorcisms, in regard to removing jinnat from the ones who have been possessed. But the best way to do it is in accordance to the Quran and the Sunnah. If anything against the Quran and the Sunnah, if Allah forbid, if one of your female relatives have been affected, if this person is asking you to leave that lady alone in the room with him, please, I beg you for the sake of Allah, don't do that. Number one, it is haram. Who gave him the right to be alone with that lady? Who gave him the right? We have so many stories of molesting taking place, seducing taking place, abusing taking place. He would scare you saying the jinn might jump to your body, you stay out. Let me hold her head, let me hold here, there. Allah save us all. Try and find the people who are the awliya of Allah, who have taqwa, who have iman, who are strong, who have the connection with Allah, they will do the job for you. And it can only be cured with the Quran and the Sunnah. Not by writing nonsense on eggs and, I don't know, bringing, you know, going to the graveyards and some people say that you have to have the goat's head in your house and all of these things are against the deen of Allah the Almighty. Against. Clearly against. All bid'ah. They're just trying to make money out of you. They're just trying to make money out of you. They're using you. They're taking advantage of you. Allah save us all. Allah save us all. Go to the correct people and get the job done correctly. I hope I made that point clear. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, these are the types of jinnat. Hadith in Bayhaqi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported as said that the jinn are of three types. Three types. One which flies in the air. The second type which is in the bodies of snakes and dogs. Snakes and dogs. And finally, the jinnat who move from place to place. They are like gypsies. They move from place to place. They roam around here and there. Another point to be clarified is that animals can see jinnat and malaika. Hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates that whenever you hear the crowing of the rooster, you know the rooster? Crowing of the rooster early in the morning, whenever or any other time during the day, if you hear the crowing of the rooster, immediately pray to Allah the Almighty, seek Allah's bounty. Because that rooster has seen an angel. He has seen an angel, that's why he's crowing. Hadith in Bukhari, Muslim. I'm serious. So you immediately seek Allah's bounty because your dua will be answered because he has seen an angel. Likewise, if you hear the braying of a donkey, if you hear the same hadith, if you hear the braying of a donkey, immediately seek refuge from shaitan. Seek refuge in Allah, the Almighty, from the accursed shaitan because the donkey has seen shaitan. That's why he's braying. If the donkey brays, the donkey has seen shaitan. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, this is not my speech, not from my pocket. It is the words of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hadith in Bukhari, Muslim. Our beloved Prophet, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. He does not speak out of his own desires. He does not speak from his pocket. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. Whatever he speaks is divine inspiration from Allah the Almighty. And just as I highlighted the importance of the Quran and the Hadith in the beginning, it is incumbent upon you to believe in all of this. It is incumbent. It is fard. You have to believe. Only then can you be a mu'min. Only then can you be a mu'min.
So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, it is not strange that the animals can see jinnat. Why? Now science tells us that bees, their eyesight are not like our eyesight. They can see ultraviolet rays, UV rays, which are emitted from the sun. So due to that, the bees, can you or I go outside and stare at the sun? You get a headache. You can't look at the sun. But the bees can look directly at the sun. Their eyes have been created in such a manner. You know the owl, it's blind in the morning. It's blind. It can't see anything. But at night, it's got night vision goggles. Guys who play games will know. Night vision goggles. Don't play games, waste of time. Night vision goggles. It can search for rats and mice and everything and hunt them in the middle of the night. It's in the forest, darkness, no light whatsoever, but it can see the mouse or the rats scurrying away here and there. It'll attack it and have a feast. Allah the Almighty has created it as such. So likewise, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, it's no wonder that the animals can see the jinnat and the malaika. Just because we can't see it, we can't think that animals cannot see. Allah has created them separate in a different manner. You know, dogs, they can't see color. They can't see color. All black and white, monotone. In different ways, Allah the Almighty, He is the Khaliq, the Creator. He knows what is best. He has created them in different ways. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they can see the jinnat and the malaika. Okay, now let me just clarify this point and we'll wrap it up inshallah, 5 minutes perhaps. That question, is shaitan from the malaika? This is a point that needs to be cleared, because many people have that doubt. Alright? Allah the Almighty, He says in the Noble Quran,
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ.
Now we said that the jinnah came before mankind. Okay? Now, what happened is, Allah the Almighty, He created Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and the ayah says, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَ, we told the malaika, the angels of Allah, to make sajda to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, not to worship him, but because it is a command of Allah. It is a command of Allah. In respect for him, you make sajda for Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah is saying in the Noble Quran, usjudu li Adam, fasajadu, they all made sajda, illa Iblis, except Iblis. You see the exemption? Illa Iblis. So from this, a doubt can crop up. Now Allah is addressing, now if I say all of you all go out except so and so, I'm talking to all of you all. I'm talking to all of you. So Allah is talking to the malaika, and Allah is saying that all of them made sajda except Iblis. So from that we understand that Iblis, at that time he was part of that gathering, the gathering of malaika. And secondly, another doubt can crop up. If he's not from the malaika, why did Allah the Almighty command him? Why did Allah the Almighty command him? So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, there are two mainstream opinions in regard to this. I'll give you those two opinions and then tell you what is more authentic and what is more correct. Alright? The first opinion is that he is from the malaika. That he is from the malaika, but that is not correct. Right? But he is from the malaika, that's the first opinion. Now just because you can't just say he is from the malaika and keep shut, you need to give your proof and your evidences as to why you're saying so. So what those scholars say, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, is there is a ruling in the Arabic language, Arabic grammar, known as istithna, which means to exempt, exclude. All the students came except Zaid. So what am I saying? The whole class came except Zaid. I am excluding Zaid out of the gathering, out of the class. So they in this istithna ruling, there are two types. Istithna muttasil, istithna munqati'. Okay? Istithna muttasil means that the one who is being exempted is from the same group as the ones who is being exempted from. Now if I say that the whole class came except Zaid, that means what you would immediately understand is Zaid is also a student. But if I say the whole class came
Except the donkey, for example. Except the donkey. Now, would you all think that the donkey is a student? No. Immediately it strikes your mind that the donkey is an animal. So that is istithna munqati, which means that the one who is being excluded is not from the group. Is not from the group. Istithna muttasil is the one who is being excluded is from the group. Two rulings. Istithna muttasil, it is istithna munqati. Is that clear? Is that clear? So the scholars who say that he is from the malaika, they say that the ruling here, illa, has been used istithna muttasil. That he is from the malaika. That he is from the malaika. And they say another evidence is, if not, why would Allah the Almighty command him to make sajda if he is not from the malaika? Why did Allah command him? So that is one view. Now, and they use another narration which Imam At-Tabari, he brings, Sa'id ibn Musayyib rahimahullah, this is not the words of Rasulullah, Sa'id ibn Musayyib, a great scholar, he says, rahimahullah, kana iblisu ra'is al-malaika fi samai wa dunya. That Iblis, was the leader of the malaika in the heavens and on earth. They use this statement also as their proof. Now let's look at the second opinion, that he is not from the malaika, and that is the best and most authentic and the most correct view. That he is not from the malaika, he is from the jinnat. Okay? Now this view is also a group of scholars mentioned, such as my beloved teacher Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. He says that shaitan, Iblis, was from the jinnat, and he is the father of the jinnat, just as how Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was the father of mankind. Shaitan. And his proof is, the scholars of that group, they say, istithna munqati'. Illa Iblis, Allah is saying illa Iblis, because istithna munqati'. Just as how I said, the whole class came except the donkey. Now I'm not saying the donkey is also a student and studying for a degree. No. The donkey may have been in the class, or maybe or a dog or a cat or whatever it may be. But he is not from the students. Istithna munqati'. Clear? And then they go on to say, in another place Allah the Almighty, He says, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ. We told the malaika, we commanded the malaika to make sajda. All of them made sajda, illa Iblis, except for Iblis. كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِ. Next ayah, Allah the Almighty clarifies. كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِ. إِلَّا Iblis. Iblis did not make sajda. كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِ. And he was from the jinn. فَفَسَقَ عَنْ عَمْرِ رَبِّي. He disobeyed the command of Allah. He disobeyed the command of Allah. أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ. So still, you know that he disobeyed the command of Allah. He is a sworn enemy to mankind. Do you still take him, take shaitan and his progeny as your awliya, as your friends? Do you want to be the awliya of Allah, or do you want to be the awliya of shaitan? Do you still take him and his progeny? أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّةَ. So this ayah highlights that he is from the jinnat, the father of the jinn. أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّةَ. Are you going to take him and his progeny? Progeny means offspring, children. So from this we understand, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, that the jinnat, they marry. And shaitan, he has a wife. Shaitan, he has a wife. A shaitana. Scholars were asked in regard to this shaitan's wife. And you know what they said? Alhamdulillah, we did not go for that wedding. We did not go for that wedding. You understand? But he has wives and he has children. And that's how, وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ. Progeny of shaitan. Shaitan has children. But Iblis, we're talking about this individual, this character, this accursed character who disobeyed Allah, he is the father of all of these jinnah. He is the father. Iblis, Azazil, another name for him. Iblis means, it comes from Ablasa, Al-Iblas, which means to be devoid or to be devoid from the blessings of Allah, to be filled with despair and confusion, to be filled with hatred. Another meaning given to, okay, and shaitan, the meaning is, they say two meanings. One is that to be away from the truth. Shatana means to be away from the truth, from the haq. And also another meaning that can be given is that he went ablaze. He burned himself with anger. As we know the story of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he was angry. He was angry. He said, "An khayrun min, I am better than him." Kibr came in his heart.
He said, I am better than Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So he went ablaze with his anger and that led him astray. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, these are the two mainstream opinions. Okay? And Imam al-Tabari once again gives a narration to support that view. Hasan al-Basri. Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, he narrates this narration. It's also his opinion. Sanadun sahih, it is on a very authentic narration. Ma kana iblisu tarfata aynin min al-malaika. Allahu Akbar. Same statement as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. Iblis was never ever from the malaika, even for a split second. Even for a split second he was not from the malaika. Wa innahu la aslul jinni kama kana adamu aslul ins. He was the asl of the jinnat, the father of the jinn, just as how Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was the father of the mankind, just as we see. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, what happened was, he was initially on dunya. He was on this dunya. And the jinnat, just as we see, when Allah the Almighty wanted to create mankind, what did the malaika say? What did the malaika say? Oh ya Allah, are you going to create another race that is going to shed blood and cause mischief and corruption on the face of this earth? They asked Allah the Almighty very innocently. They were not questioning Allah, but they asked Allah because you know why? They already had a bitter experience with the jinnat. The jinnat were on this earth before us. And they caused so much of mischief and corruption, shed blood and did all kinds of nonsense. Allah the Almighty sent an army of angels to chase them and destroy them. Many of them were destroyed. And many of them were chased to far away remote islands, the jinnat. Shaytan was taken captive and taken to the heavens. Where, when he went to the heavens, he became a very pious slave of Allah the Almighty. Became a very pious slave, so much to the extent that he, even some narrations go on to say that he became the teacher of the malaika. He became, but he was from the jinn, never from the malaika, he became the teacher of the malaika. And that's how he had that link with the malaika, and that's why Allah the Almighty commanded everybody in the heavens to make sajda to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. He was already in the heavens. And he refused. And that action of his made him accursed, made him part of the anger of Allah the Almighty, and Allah cursed him and threw him out of Jannah. Threw him out of the heavens. This result, the result was due to his pride and arrogance. Due to him disobeying the command of Allah the Almighty. Is that clear? So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, the remaining jinnat who were on the face of this earth were chased to far away remote islands. And that's why we see even today islands that are remote, abandoned, you have the jinnat living there. Likewise, houses that are abandoned, remote, old houses, you have the jinnat living there. And then mostly jinnat took the form of snakes. That is why authentic hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if a snake comes into your house, you are supposed to kill snakes if it is outside your house. If it is outside your house, you're supposed to kill snakes because they harm. Especially, I can't remember the words exactly, there are two types of snakes that it is fard to kill. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the short-tailed snake and another snake which has white stripes, if I'm not mistaken. If I'm not mistaken. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that those two snakes cause loss of vision. They spray their poison, it causes loss of vision and also miscarriages for women. They lose their children immediately. So due to that, we are supposed to kill those two snakes. But if a snake comes into your house, you're not supposed to kill. You are not supposed to kill. Until you tell that snake, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, that I seek refuge in Allah the Almighty from the accursed shaitan. And you, if you fear Allah, you're supposed to leave this house. You have to admonish that snake. You have to talk to that snake. Okay? So within 3 days, the snake is supposed to go. If the snake returns, then that means it is a jinn that you are supposed to, evil jinn that you are supposed to kill. For if it is a believing jinn, it would immediately leave. And the reason being, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, there was a narration that once in one battle, one soldier, he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whether he could go because he was a newly married soldier. Rasulullah ﷺ permitted him to go. So he goes home, riding on his horse, galloping. When he comes to his house, he sees his wife, a newly married wife, with her home clothes, you know, perhaps a bit not the usual clothes. People, they tend to wear lighter clothes when they are inside home. She was outside the house. Now he the protective jealousy came about him, and he got angry. He was so angry that he took his spear and aimed at his wife. "What are you doing outside?" Then she said, "You first go inside and see what has brought me outside. You go inside." Then he goes inside and he sees a huge snake. And then he also thought of running out. Now he understands why his wife was out. So what he did was, the minute he saw the snake, he took his spear and killed it on the spot. When he did that, the whole house shook. The whole house shook, and people who are around say they don't know who died first, the snake or the soldier. The snake or the soldier. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains that that was a jinn. That was a jinn. And it could be a mu'min jinn. And if you do harm to it, it's going to harm you too. And as we discussed, jinn have different abilities. Their bodies are lighter. They can fly. They can walk through things. They can do different kinds of things. So accidentally, if you hurt or harm a jinn, it's going to harm you. Especially in the form of a snake. So take precaution. If it is in your house, you ask the snake to leave. And within 3 days, if it leaves, then it's fine. If it comes back, then you're supposed to kill it. You're supposed to kill. But you should not kill without admonishing it and asking it to leave in the first place. You should ask it to leave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. Likewise, the black dog. The black dog is also a frequent animal which the jinns take the form of. The black dog. These are the two animals which the jinns love to take the form of. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, like I said in the beginning, jinn possession is true. It is true. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he has very beautifully clarified and explained. Allah the Almighty says in the Noble Quran, الَّذِينَ يَأْقُلُونَ الرِّبَا لَا يَقُومُونَ. Those who consume riba, interest, haram, those who consume it without being bothered about it, لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّتُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسْ. On the day of Qiyamah, they won't stand up except in a state that they would stand up as if they are drunk or as if they are intoxicated by a blow from the devil. As if they have been given a blow from the devil, that's how they would wake up on the day of Qiyamah. So from this, scholars mention that Massu Shaitan, the touch of a devil, the touch of a devil indicates that indeed the devils can possess us. Another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that Shaitan, he runs in the Majra al-Dam. Shaitan runs in the Majra al-Dam, in our veins. Shaitan runs, wherever blood flows in our body, Shaitan runs. Shaitan runs. My beloved teacher Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he beautifully mentioned the statement that due to Shaitan running in our blood, he studies us. He studies us, he gets to know what we like, what we dislike, and he uses these things. This is how waswas comes about. He knows what we are doing, what we don't like, and all of these things. And this is the very same way how he fooled our parents, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Hawa alayha salatu wasalam. He understood that they wanted to be living in Jannah forever and ever. And that's why he told them, go and eat the fruit. If you eat the fruit, you will live in Jannah forever and ever. He used that subtle point there. This is the traps of Shaitan. And likewise, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, the final point that I want to mention is that all of us, we have a qareen. We have a qareen. What is a qareen? A qareen is, we have a jinn with us. All of us, we have one jinn companion. One jinn companion. All of us, we have. I'm not lying. I'm serious. All of us, we have a jinn. Now, I may be seated here. My jinn may be here drinking the drink with me or something like that. All of you also have jinnah. They may be here. They may be somewhere. They may be at home having lunch. I know you all must be hungry now. So all of us, we have qareen, jinn. And this is established in the hadith. Aisha radiallahu anha narrates that once, one night, she woke up and she did not find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam beside her. And you know Aisha radiallahu anha, young, she's young. So she immediately she felt jealous. Has Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left me and gone to another wife? So she starts looking for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's not there. So she gets up angry. And she's going to find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's praying. Allahu Akbar. He's praying. So then, in the darkness, she's feeling for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks around and asks Aisha radiallahu anha after the prayer. Aisha radiallahu anha, he says, Aisha, has your evil qareen taken hold of you? What's wrong with you? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks her. Then Aisha radiallahu anha asks Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have you got an evil qareen? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, yes, of course. Every one of you has an evil qareen. The words of the hadith go along the lines of these words. And then she says, then you see Aisha radiallahu anha, mashallah, scholar. She asks Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what about you, Ya Rasulullah? What about your evil qareen? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, I also had an evil qareen, but I controlled him and I made him good. Now this power was only with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You understand? So all of us, we have this evil qareen, always trying to trouble us and do all these kind of things. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, the best way for us to protect ourselves is to become closer to Allah the Almighty. The best way. Now I don't want to give you fancy mantras and potions, you know. This is all waste of time. You involve yourself in azkar, dhikr of Allah the Almighty. Recite more of the noble Quran. If your house has problems, recite Surah Al-Baqarah excessively. The more you recite Surah Al-Baqarah, the jinnat will run out. The more you can, you recite. And if you can't also, let the Surah Al-Baqarah be, you know, put it on the tape or the CD or whatever and let it go on in your house. The barakah of that recital would result in the jinnat being expelled from your house. For if Surah Al-Baqarah is recited in a house, the jinnat, the devils run away from that house. So you yourself, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, if you want to save yourself from the harms of the jinnat, recite the Quran excessively, do the azkar excessively, make your salah on time, and try and be in ablution at all times, and pray to Allah the Almighty, establish your link with Allah the Almighty, and remember, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, avoid the fortune tellers, avoid the soothsayers, all of which is haram, and also, if you are trying to seek help from the jinnat, avoid it. Many of the scholars mention it would always result in adverse consequences later on. Avoid seeking help from the jinnat. You mind your own business, let them mind their own business, and you go on with your lives. This dunya is not a place for all of this enmity and these things, you know, black magic and all of that. Temporary life, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, a few years where we have to prepare ourselves for our abode, which is al-akhirah. Do as much as good deeds as you can and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah the Almighty, may He forgive all of our sins, accept all of our good deeds, save us all from all types of evil, from all evil forces, especially from the evil of shaitan. And may Allah the Almighty unite all of us in the gardens of Jannah, just as how He has united us today. And may Allah the Almighty grant us all the tamyiz to know what is right and what is wrong, and give us basira to distinguish the haq and the batil. وآخر دعواي أن الحمد لله رب العالمين جزاكم الله خير. And I'm sorry if I took a little extra of your time, but I hope it was beneficial.
For more lectures, visit slhub.com.